chapter. This is our Krishna Katha for the morning. Blood curdling. Arjun came at once to Draupadi. And Draupadi was crying uncontrollably. One can imagine if a child dies, in this case, slaughtered in their sleep. Five children slaughtered in their sleep. Mercilessly. By whoever. In this case, the son of a Brahmin. What Draupadi must have been feeling. So, to support and pacify Draupadi, Arjuna took an intense vow. And Kshatriya vow means you can't go back on the vow once you utter it. I will capture that Ashwatthama and I'll bring his head back so that as you're performing the ablutions to the funeral pyre of your five sons, you can stand on his head while doing so. And went and got his chariot, got his weapons, and pursued Ashwatthama. Krishna was the chariot driver. As he pursued Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama's horse became fatigued. The horse couldn't run anymore. And here comes Arjuna. So Ashwatthama panicked. He knew that he had done a terribly wrong thing, but his life is at risk. And so he did what he knew what to do. He turned, faced Arjuna, and with mantra, he released Brahmastra weapons. Specifically, the Bhagavatam says, one should not do such a thing if one does not know how to release the weapon. So it's unqualified to know who is a person who's a suitable target for the weapon, and disqualified because he didn't know how to release the weapon. So here comes the Brahmastra weapon heading at Arjuna. There's some beautiful verses where, what would you do if here comes a speeding bullet heading your direction? Immediately, at once, without any hesitation or moment's delay, he didn't plead with Krishna, please get rid of that thing. I'm just pointing at the Brahmastra. Here comes the Brahmastra. Get rid of that thing. That wasn't his prayer. His prayer was a sense of complete protection to the personality of Godhead. You are the controller of everything. And you're the protector of your devotee. So, essentially, I don't know what is your plan, but whatever is your plan, I accept your plan. And you're the controller of matter. You're the controller of all events of matter. And I'm sure that you'll provide some protection for your devotee. I'm ready. And sure enough, Krishna had a plan. Krishna said, you know the art of retracting a Brahmastra. So you fire the Brahmastra and then retract both Brahmastras. Solution. So at once, Arjuna circumambulated Krishna. I don't know what's happening with this, how long it took for the speeding bullet to get to him, but he circumambulated Krishna and fired his Brahmastra, and the whole sky was fire and heat. The whole universe was being scorched with the intense heat of two colliding Brahmastras. And then by mantra, he withdrew both Brahmastras and it was over. Calamity was finished. Then he grabbed Ashwatthama. Instead of beheading him as he said he was going to do, he tied him up with ropes. Prabhupada comments this was a practice at the time, just like when Drupad was captured by the Pandavas, as Drona had requested, seize him and bring him to me. So that was the system. Or Bali Maharaj was tied up by ropes so that he, like, you know, a straitjacket, he couldn't move. So the indication is of a really low class criminal. You know, our visual is now handcuffs take somebody away, they got their hands behind their back. So it's something like that, treating the person like a low class criminal. So Ashwatthama was bound up with ropes, and the discussion was, Sutta describes the story, this narration, that Arjuna's eyes were molten red like copper, or red like molten copper, and Krishna's eyes were lotus. So he brought Ashwatthama to the camp and brought Ashwatthama before Draupadi. Not his head, but the person. And so that's where we are beginning. Well, that's just to lead up to the few verses we're going to read. The drama is very exciting. Not just because it's like, you know, life and death kind of thriller, but the lessons of this whole exchange are very, very important. We're not likely to be in such a, you know, Brahmastra coming at us, or someone killing five sons, or something like that. But what do you do when there's a very clear, severe action that needs proper punishment, because you can't leave a severe action unpunished? This is something we're going to hear. But at the same time, there are other considerations besides just punish. So here we go. Krishna says, he gives three statements. They all point to the same thing. Kill him at once. Krishna is Krishna, not, you know, just somebody. A person who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane, asleep, afraid, or devoid of his chariot. Nor does he kill a boy, a woman, or a foolish creature, or a surrendered soul. So Ashwatthama has done this. A cruel and wretched person who maintains his existence at the cost of others' lives deserves to be killed for his own well-being. Otherwise, he will go down by his own actions. Furthermore, I have personally heard you promise, Draupadi, that you will bring forth the head of the killer of her sons. This man is an assassin and murderer of your own family members. Not only that, but he has also dissatisfied his master. That's Duryodhan. He is but the burnt remnants of his family. Kill him immediately. It's pretty clear what Krishna is directly telling Arjuna to do. Now the drama unfolds further. Sutta Goswami said, although Krishna, who was examining Arjuna in religion, encouraged Arjuna to kill the son of Dronacharya, Arjuna, a great soul, did not like the idea of killing him. Although Ashwatthama was a heinous murderer of Arjuna's family members. So here we go into similar, not the same, but similar to the space of Arjuna being before the battle in Kurukshetra and not wanting to kill, but Krishna wanting him to kill. Now the outcome is different because the circumstances are different. And so we're not a cookie-cutter religion. One thing fits all things, and off you go. You don't have to think. Just do. That's not the lesson here. The lesson is quite the opposite. There are in the course of religion and duty, there are many subtle things to consider. If you just take one thing and just do, or another thing and don't do, or another thing and do something else, then it's not mature. It's incomplete. Again, this is the first message in the whole of the Bhagavatam, the first Krishna Katha we're hearing, is how we're supposed to approach our duties of life. And this is extreme. It's radical. Five children killed. Krishna standing by your side. Kill him. At once, immediately. Here's the reasons. A, B, C. Kill him. Immediately. And inside Arjuna, there's some hesitation. That's even before Draupadi speaks. And what's that hesitation? It's his soft-heartedness as a devotee. We may have some duty to do. And then there's this soft-heartedness. And then there's the duty to do. And, you know, it's just, I don't know if you all have been in situations like this. I'm sure you have. I know I'm in situations like this where it's the balance of what to do in a particular situation is so delicate. And you can just like close a blind. It's easy just to do one thing or the other thing, but to properly discern where is that fine balance. It's very challenging sometimes. Very challenging. I'm presently facing a couple of them. Very challenging. And the greater your level of responsibility is, the more importance it is that you execute things in a responsible way. In a proper way. So, Prabhupada writes, the language that he uses is very important. I'll read it. Lord Sri Krishna encouraged Arjuna outwardly, just to test Arjuna's sense of duty. Now what does that mean? To test Arjuna's sense of duty. Prabhupada writes, it's not that Krishna didn't know. For sometimes we're put to a test. It's not that Krishna doesn't know. Krishna is omniscient. We may not know, but Krishna knows. So to put to a test, Prabhupada writes, it's not that Arjuna was incomplete in the sense of his duty. So the test is not pass-fail. He's complete. It's pass. It's an A+. Not just pass. The test is not because, when we get tested, it's not because, you know, we might fail. It may be that we could fail, but it's not necessarily Krishna wants to see if we're going to pass or fail. It might be that Krishna just wants to examine. As in the case of Arjuna, at least. Nor was Sri Krishna unaware of Arjuna's sense of duty. But Lord Sri Krishna puts to test many of his pure devotees just to magnify the sense of duty. What does that mean? Just to magnify how important it is that when we're doing things for Krishna, that we're very conscientious about how we do the things for Krishna that we do. To not only just do the right things, but do the right things in the right way. It's very important. It's real easy. It's too easy just to feel justified, I'm doing the right thing, and off you go, and boom. But Krishna wants to see how important it is that we do the right thing in the right way. Vyasadeva's putting it right after his realization. It's the next thing that's being presented in the Bhagavatam. He concludes this paragraph, the gopis were put to such tests as well. Prahlad Maharaj was also put to such a test. All pure devotees come out successful in the respective tests. So that's a short paragraph describing what the essence of this drama is. How important it is to carry out our duties with maturity. With maturity means there's many factors to consider. So Prabhupada goes into some of those factors. And they're subtle. So next verse, Arjuna reaches the camp. After reaching his own camp, Arjuna, along with his dear friend and charioteer Krishna, entrusted the murderer unto his dear wife, who was lamenting for her murdered sons. So one would expect, no, he should be punished. And Prabhupada comments on the fact that twice the word Priya is used, that to Arjuna, Krishna is very dear, and to Arjuna, his wife is very dear. So their words mean something to him. You know, they're very important. The words of his dear Krishna and the words of his dear wife. And from a spiritual perspective, the words of his dear Krishna might seem more important. Why not? After all, the dearness of Draupadi is her dearness to Krishna. Sri Suta Goswami said, Draupadi then saw Ashwatthama, who was bound with ropes like an animal and silent for having enacted the most inglorious murder due to her female nature and due to her being naturally good and well-behaved. She showed him due respect as a brahmana. So there's two reasons. Her female nature and also her mild and good behavior, well-behaved disposition. Vama Svabhava, mild and gentle by nature. So here's Prabhupada's explanation. This is just one of the threads that makes the fabric. Prabhupada's holding up the thread for us to look at. Even to date in a Hindu family, a woman shows proper respect to the Brahmana caste, whoever fallen and heinous a Brahma Bandhu he may be. But the men have begun to protest against Brahma Bandhus, who are born in families of good Brahmanas, but by action are less than Shudras. And we know Prabhupada is in that second category. Publicly, openly, he would regularly protest, and certainly in training his students, his disciples, he would regularly protest. Paragraph. The specific words used in this shloka are Vama Svabhava, mild and gentle by nature. A good man or woman accepts anything very easily, but a man of average intelligence does not do so. Very curious. But anyway, we should not give up our reason and discriminatory power just to be gentle. So this is an instruction. But mind you, it's one thread, it's not the whole fabric. It's one piece, it's not the whole. So one can take the one piece and feel justified. Look, right there, Prabhupada said, right in his purport, don't be gentle. Don't give up your discriminatory power. Don't be gentle. One must have good discriminatory power to judge a thing on its merit. We should not, it's not italicized, but it's almost like it should be italicized. We should not follow the mild nature of a woman and thereby accept that which is not genuine. So discriminatory power says, is this genuine or not? Discriminatory power means intelligence. The function of intelligence is to discriminate one thing from another thing. Like, you know, for anamoya, manamoya, gyanamoya, vijnanamoya, anandamoya, those discrimination levels are levels of intelligence. So we're to discriminate one thing from another. We shouldn't give up that discriminatory power in the name of being a gentle Brahmin or a gentle Vaishnava. Doesn't mean we give up our gentleness, but we don't give up our discriminatory power. What's genuine? What's not? So Krishna's indicating to Arjuna, he's not genuine. He's the son of a Brahmana. He's the son of Drona. But look at his behavior. It's not the behavior of a Brahmana. So he's not a Brahmana. Killing him is not Brahmahatya. Killing him is just and is for his own good, because otherwise he'll suffer for what he has done on his own. If you punish him with death, then once he's relieved of that reaction, it's good for him. It's not bad for you, and it's good for him. Do it. And it's Krishna saying it. It's not just so. We can't, just to put balance in the thing, we can't just be ruled by one side or the other. One side says, be gentle and mild. The other side says, be discriminatory. So be discriminatory doesn't mean throw away be gentle and mild. And be gentle and mild doesn't mean throw away being discriminatory. Now here's a really bad situation. Think of some situation in your life where it's something has come to your attention, or you're dealing with something that's really bad. There's no question about, is it bad? It's really bad. Now what do you do? The discriminatory side says, finish this bad person. No more. And the gentle side says something else. He's the son of a Brahmin. After all, and Draupadi gives the argument, after all, the military skill that you have came from his father. And this is his son. The son is directly representative of the father. How can you? And there's other factors that will be presented in the next few verses, which I'm not going to cover just now, because it's good to stay focused on what the message is here. To act with proper execution of what is right, that's the discriminatory part. There has to be balance with the Vama Swabhava side, because that's what Draupadi brings in. And in one sense, that's what prevails. Although the discriminatory part isn't thrown out. And to make things even heavier, not more complicated, but just heavier, here's Krishna saying, kill him. And then Arjuna's elder brother, we know from Mahabharata, Arjuna would not fight, or he would not do anything, not fight, he would not do anything without hearing the indication from Yudhishthira, his elder brother. He was ruled by the words of his elder brother. To do or to not do, or how to do it was... And Yudhishthira saying, don't. Draupadi, his wife, for whom he's taken this vow, says, don't. In other words, the vow is now neutralized because you're doing this for me, I'm saying don't. And Krishna is saying do. How many times have we been in situations where we get different advice? But people that are very dear to us. And we gotta do something. We can't just like vaporize, you know, we have to do something. So this is the Krishna's examining. In one sense, the examining is he's glorifying Arjuna. Just see, like Lord Vamana did with Bali. Just see the character of this devotee. That even when he was humiliated, he gave everything. And I deliberately did this. I humiliated him like he just ground his face in the mud. No protest. He's just happy to be whatever I want him to be, bound up with ropes. Just see the character of this person. He's on the topmost platform of love of God, Bali Maharaj. Don't think of him as a daitya. He's on the topmost platform of love of God, just like his grandfather. So, examining. The sense of duty, the sense of what is to be done in a circumstance. And it really takes character. It doesn't just take book formulas. It takes deep character, and character means, like the 12th chapter Bhagavad Gita discussion last night, it takes being dear to Krishna to have real character. Krishna decorates one with such qualities. And then Krishna being so pleased, as he is here with Arjuna, or someone who, it's not just being right or wrong, it's pleasing Krishna. And in very difficult situations, that's what's right, is pleasing Krishna, to discern what's right, how to please Krishna in a given circumstance. Without a deep dependency upon Krishna, it doesn't come. If one doesn't have the right, this is my experience, if one doesn't have the right mood of simply wanting to please Krishna in a trying circumstance, a clear answer doesn't come. It stays blurred. And then you have to take responsibility for acting in a way that you don't have conviction in, just because you got to do something. You know it's not right. It's very troubling. What Krishna wants is he wants to examine our character. He wants to bring us to that platform. Create a situation where we can come to the platform of just full surrender unto him. Then it's like, I know this from my chemistry days, in a certain point in some chemistry experiment, all of a sudden, when the right conditions are there, the right this and that and that and this, all of a sudden, boom, the whole thing changes like a catalyst in a chemical reaction. The colloidal suspension just falls out. Just boom, all of a sudden. What before is something murky, all of a sudden it just changes. So the catalyst is the Krishna factor. Are being fully dependent upon Krishna. And trying to deeply understand, just taking this one thread, because there's other threads, but this balance between discriminatory power and the well-behaved, kind and gentle disposition of a Vaishnava. Because sometimes strong action has to be done. here in the paragraph previously, this is, there's women's topic. I'll touch on it. I'm not going to dive into it. When Ashwatthama was brought before Draupadi, Srimati Draupadi, she, although bereaved for the murder of her sons, and all the murder was present before her, she could not withdraw the due respect generally offered to a brahmana, or the son of a brahmana. This is due to her mild nature as a woman. Then Prabhupada writes, women as a class are no better than boys, and therefore they have no discriminatory power like that of a man. Hope nobody's offended from the lady's side. Ashwatthama proved himself to be an unworthy son of Dronacharya or a brahmana, and for this reason he was condemned by the greatest authority, Lord Sri Krishna. And yet, a mild woman could not withdraw her natural courtesy for a brahmana. So it looks like an either-or situation, but it's not. That's part of the point. We're using this word balance. And maybe a better word is, synthesize. Because even when strong action is taken, like this question comes up, when Krishna kills demons, what kind of God is this? But the understanding we have is when Krishna kills demons, they're liberated. So the kindness of liberating the devotee and the kindness of liberating the demon, they're both acts of kindness. The appearance is different because the approach is different. The approach of the devotee is loving. The approach of the demon is vicious. Krishna overlooks the viciousness. That is to say, you want to see me as enemy? Okay, I'll act as enemy, and then I'll liberate you. You want to see me as your friend and dearmost master? Very well, I accept that position as your master, and I'll liberate you from this material condition of life. So the appearance is different, but the essence is the all-compassionate act of the Supreme Lord. Now, from our side, when confronted with a situation that's difficult, there's the soft side, and you can say it this way, the soft side and the hard side. This hard side is, the discriminating side is, this isn't a brahmana. The soft side is, he's the son of a brahmana. And there's a natural respect that should go. Now, in our Western culture, that respect is gone. It's the culture of no culture. There's no respect. No respect for anybody or anything. And it affects our lives even as devotees, because that's the culture that we're in, the environment that we're in. Even we may not have been brought up that way. I was sharing this with, or someone was sharing this with me from a devotee that's married to someone from Eastern Europe. And in Eastern Europe, culture is very similar as those of you that did your earlier education in India. There's respect for the teacher. And when you come to America and see that how absent that is, it's shocking. And it's just part of the culture of no culture. Or put it the other way, when there's culture, there's respect. Even if there's respect. When my main public experience is traveling, somebody, the traveler that's in the wheelchair, and it's this grumpy, grouchy old guy. And everyone's still dealing with him respectfully because he's old. He's an old person. And so, he's a little grumpy and grouchy. It's okay. We don't dismiss him because he's grumpy and grouchy. and so on. There's just, where there's culture, so this is Draupadi, there's respect. Even this is the person that killed her sons in her sleep. She can't withdraw that cultural feature, softness. Now, how do you bring in the discriminating factor? That's the test that we sometimes have in our service. We shouldn't, we're being told very clearly, we should not abandon the discriminatory factor to be mature. To not have it is like a child. They don't yet necessarily have that fullness of respect, nor the fullness of discriminatory power. But when we're mature, we're expected to have both. It's, I like this section. I like the Bhagavatam, but this section is, it's very nice. Because it's instructive for me personally, because I have lots of things I have to do that are really tough to decide. What's the right way to address the situation? How do you speak to a person who has done something very bad? And you're in a, you know, an authority position. They've done something very bad. But you don't want to lose your Vaishnava softness and soft-heartedness. But then you don't want to lose, get lost in the Vaishnava soft-heartedness and lose your discrimination. It's very difficult. Very challenging. And we each have it to face. So the solution is very much like what Arjuna did when the Brahmastra was coming. He just turned to Krishna and prayed to Krishna. Because he's a pure devotee, Krishna was right standing right next to him and told him what to do. We're not Arjuna. We don't have Krishna in our chariot. But Krishna's in our heart, and the principle doesn't change. The principle is to place ourselves in this mood of dependence. Let me read, and then I'll end. It's 8:30. Here's, I just got through lecturing on these verses, and my book has more marks on it than it does the verses of the words of the text. Arjuna said, here comes the Brahmastra. A glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life was in danger, so he began to address Lord Sri Krishna. He said, oh, my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the Almighty, personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies, and therefore you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. You are the original personality of Godhead who expands himself all over the creations and is transcendental to the material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge, and yet you are beyond the purview of the material energy. You execute the four principles of liberation characterized by religion and so on for the ultimate good of the conditioned souls. Thus, you descend as an incarnation to remove the burden of the world and to benefit your friends, especially those who are your exclusive devotees and are rapt in meditation upon you. So, he's fixed. He's not even saying, hey, what do I do? He's just glorifying Krishna. It's depending completely upon Krishna. And appreciating Krishna's loving position. So we have to at least go to that position. Dhruva Maharaj is another nice example. Here comes this yaksha's fierce barrage of fire and weapons and terrible creatures shooting rocks and trees and all kinds of things showering down upon him. And the Brahman has come and tell Dhruva, hey Dhruva, you're a pure devotee and Krishna is your dear friend. Just remember Krishna. And he's given you the means of serving him. So why don't you just do that? Oh, yes, I'm a devotee. Pulled his bow and aimed the arrow at this mystical thing. And at once the mystical thing disappeared. Just like that. Because it wasn't even real. It sure appeared to be real. Like so many things that we experience. So what our consciousness is fixed upon is going to determine what configuration of material energy is coming at us. And the understanding of how we address ourselves to that. If we're in Krishna consciousness or not. We shouldn't let trying circumstances allow us to abandon our Krishna consciousness and hurry up and figure out how to solve the trying circumstance. Big mistake. And we just get sucked into the material energy and we're powder. Take shelter. When Krishna is examining your religious principles. Okay. Any discussion?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful explanation. We never thought it had so much deep meaning.
Oh, there's more coming.
So I used to think of why are we talking about Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam. So, it's so much.
The further, going further with this is, there are two people that we want, that are very dear to us and we want to please them very much. And their definition of what will make them happy is opposite. What to do. And Arjun gets it. Because Krishna instruction from within the heart, what to do. Anything?
So one question is, in applying the discriminatory power, because we are conditioned in this stage, our discrimination will also be polluted.
Yes.
So that's why we are told to follow exactly without, even if it...
Even the following exactly requires discriminatory power. Let's take Prabhupada said, and, N number of things can be justified by Prabhupada said. You just select the right ones, or even take the same ones and it tells you two different things. So, part of the lack of discriminatory power is, here's what Prabhupada said, and it's obvious what Prabhupada said because, to me, it's obvious. Therefore, it's obvious. So many examples.
So how do we protect ourselves from that polluted discrimination, Maharaj?
There's many, ultimately it's Krishna's protection. But it starts with recognizing, do we have filters? What we hear is with filters. and therefore we should consider from different angles of vision. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes. With a sincere desire to understand that which is actually being given, the gift that's being given, with a strong desire for receiving the genuine thing. And he explains that when Krishna sees that genuine effort to consider exactly what it is that's being given, Krishna then removes the filters. Another answer is we check our understanding with some authority. So then, who one sees as authority becomes very important. Well, in this case, Yudhisthira and Krishna, and they're saying opposite things. So then there's a higher principle. When something like that comes, there's a higher principle that we're to grasp, to apprehend. It's not just a yes, no, or this or that, you know, a one or a zero. It's not something opposite. If there are two authorities that we accept, and they're saying apparently different things, there's some deeper message to it. And our filters are preventing us from understanding that deeper message. So your question is how to remove filters. You certainly have to reach out to those authorities and get further clarity. Ultimately, that means Krishna. I have a whole presentation on inspiration. It's, you know, like how mathematicians solve very complicated mathematical questions just in a flash. Or Mozart composes symphonies just in a flash. It's not explained by mechanistic science. There's no possibility it could happen. And many, many other things. So inspiration can carry us beyond our filters. And that's, you know, being in touch with Supersoul. What's our method of becoming in touch with Supersoul? It's descending mercy and the holy name. We really have to depend, we have to come to that position of full dependence upon descending mercy and experiencing Krishna through his holy name. Ultimately. That's our channel for filter removals. We've got a ways to go. Anything? Okay, breakfast time. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.